Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he said to his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Well, some say that you are John the Baptist, and others say that you are Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not be able to overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he warned them not to tell anyone he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, before a building project is undertaken, whether they're going to build a house or a building or something else on it, always has to be a site inspection. They bring people in who are supposedly experts on it, and they take a look at the soil conditions in that property. They look at the rock structure that's beneath it, the drainage situation. In other words, you want to avoid problems. You want to avoid some situation that you don't foresee. And knowing all of that, if you're going to build a museum, you would think that they would do a thorough job of site inspection. This is the museum in Bowling Green, Kentucky, called the Corvette Museum. That's what it was supposed to look like, you know, all the cars parked around under that dome. But on the 14th of February in 2014, about 10 after 5 in the morning, the video cameras caught this forming. This was a sinkhole that developed right underneath that museum floor, swallowed up 8 vintage cars, 3 of which will never be repaired. They have them on display now, all crushed up and mangled. They were one-of-a-kind series, and so you would have thought somehow they would have caught that. They weren't building on solid rock, but they were building on solid rock over a big cavern underneath, and they probably just sort of lucky that the whole building didn't fall into it. I don't know how many tons and tons of dirt, rock, and concrete they poured into it to fill up that cavern underneath. But you can look at it now, and there it is. They thought they were building on the rock, and they weren't. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus asks his disciples a question. He says, "Who do people say I am?" And they have a variety of different answers. But then he gets more personal. He gets right to it. One of the other gospel writers says, he looked at his disciples and he said, "What about you? Who do you say I am?" Couldn't ask a more important question than that, right? And St. Peter, good old St. Pete, he's got the right answer, perfect answer, A for the day. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus goes on to say, "On that rock I will build my church." And so we want to take a look at that. What is that rock that the church is built on? And how does that affect you and me as people of God? What I know is, who or what is the rock? And don't one of you wags tell me that you're thinking of Dwayne Johnson. Okay, that's not the rock we're talking about here. The Catholic doctrine for a long time claimed that that passage is where Jesus makes St. Peter the first pope. That when he says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church," that he was saying that on Peter he was going to build the church. And so Peter was the first pope. When the Reformation came along, the Reformers had a whole different interpretation of that. Because they asked one pertinent question: how could the church be built on somebody as fallible as St. Peter? You and I know that Peter was sometimes pretty mushy. He was not always the rock. He was often a little mushy. In fact, next week we're going to hear the next part of this gospel. And we're going to hear Jesus tell the disciples what it means for him to be the Messiah, the Christ. And when he tells them that it means he's going to die and be crucified, but Peter takes him aside and rebukes Jesus, and Jesus ends up saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." We know that during the week of the Passion, especially on the evening of Thursday of that week, St. Peter's in a courtyard warming himself by fire, and somebody says, "Aren't you one of his disciples? You're a Galilean." And we know that three times St. Peter says, "I don't know the man. I don't know him." And then in the book of Galatians, St. Paul tells us that he had occasion where he said, "I confronted Peter to his face," because Peter had backed away from the Gentile Christians that were there. He had been eating with them, but a delegation came from Jerusalem. They were all Jews, so all of a sudden Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentile Christians, and St. Paul has to get on his case, correct him. So if the church was going to be built on Peter, I would submit to you that the church would have fallen in long ago. That cannot be the rock Jesus was talking about. And in fact, it isn't. The rock that Jesus says he's going to build a church on is the confession that St. Peter makes. It's the confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we're going to take a look at that in a little more detail. He says, "You are the Christ." I watched a movie 41 years ago when I was a senior in college. Pains me to say it's 41 years ago already. But that movie was in a geology class, and it was all about the San Andreas fault line and all the things that could go wrong the next time a really big earthquake comes in there. And one of the things that stuck with me from that movie was that they showed that when there had been the last big earthquake, they had all this rubble, all this broken concrete, masonry, and so on. Well, what are we going to do with all that stuff? So somebody had the bright idea to take it out into San Francisco Bay and some of the shallow areas and dump it there in the bay. Well, after they dumped all that concrete and rock and stuff in there, somebody looked at it and said, "Hey, we could develop this land. We've got new land here." And so they smoothed it out, threw some topsoil on it, and they built thousands of houses on that fill. And in that movie, then already, they talked about what was likely to happen the next time a big earthquake came. Have you ever heard the word liquefaction? That means that fill dirt, when it gets shaken by an earthquake, it's going to turn from solid ground into mush, and all those houses are going to go this way and that way, and they're going to be destroyed. So you don't want to buy a house that's built on fill dirt in an earthquake zone. A lot of people did. They think they've built on the rock, but that's not the case. It's really pretty important that you know what you're building on if you're going to build, whether that's a house or a building, or whether that's your faith life. You want to build on something solid, on something true, on something real. How many of you looked at the eclipse on Monday? Raise your hand, don't be shy. All right. How many of you used the right glasses? Okay. What? I can't see, huh? I watched some of the news reports from Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Did you see the drum circle? They had a bunch of, they were men sitting in a circle, and they were all beating on drums while it was getting dark over their heads. And that's, I don't know, that's some kind of Native American thing, I guess, and they were in a drum circle. And then they showed some people with Buddhist robes on, and they were chanting away during that. And then they interviewed a lady, and she said, "Oh, it was such a spiritual moment when it closed up." She said, "For once, we put aside all of our differences and we were all concentrating on the same thing." And I thought, lady, just what does that mean, a spiritual moment? And how sad it is if that's all you get is a moment of spirituality. Oh gosh, they make such a big deal of that eclipse, you know. People drill from everywhere. We've got three folks here from southeast Missouri today, from Perry County, Missouri. They said they were right in the line of it, so they didn't even have to leave their homes to see the whole eclipse. And you know what? If you missed it, you can go to one 7 years from now. It's coming across Evansville, Bloomington, and Indianapolis. So hang on to your glasses. You can use them again. But if I find out that you were in a drum circle, I will kick you in the rear end. Because that's not spirituality. People who have a spiritual life that's not built on the rock, on something solid and real, yeah, well, they're drawn to all kinds of nonsense. You know, so there was an eclipse, big deal. There will be more eclipses. There are eclipses every year of one kind or another. We don't make a big deal of that because it's a natural phenomenon. Why get all excited about that? If you don't have your faith set on the rock, on something solid and real, then you chase after all kinds of nonsense. That confession that St. Peter makes, we got to look at the three components of that. First one, he says, "You are the Christ." Well, Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. It is St. Peter saying, you're the one that we've been waiting for. You're the one that the prophets had spoken about. You are the one that David was promised would sit on the throne forever. You are that one. You are the very one we've been longing for. That's important because Jesus is that one, the one that God had spoken about way back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And now he's come. So St. Peter makes that confession that Jesus is the Messiah, that he fulfills all the prophecy, that he's the Savior, the Redeemer. He's that one who's going to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. So that's the first part. You are the Christ, the one and only. Then he says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. There, St. Peter is telling us that Jesus is divine, that he's the Son of God, the one and only Son of God, that one and only who's going to be made that sacrifice, who on the cross is going to pay for the sins of the world because his death is so much more of value than any other death that's ever been, because this is the Son, the one and only Son of God. And then it finishes up, you are the Son of the living God. That's very Hebraic. That's very much the Israelite thing, that they have recognized all along that when they say the living God, it is in opposition to all the gods of all the neighbors around them. That they all had gods of dead wood, or dead stone, or dead bronze. That they worshiped gods that weren't gods at all because there was no life in them. And the Hebrews always celebrated the fact that the God they worshiped was the living God. That he had life in him. And that he was willing and able to give life to his people. And so St. Peter's got it right. Now we're going to find out next week, he didn't quite understand it yet, and we'll talk about that then. But for now, we look at that confession, and Jesus says that confession is going to be the rock on which the whole church is built. It's the central tenet of our faith. It's the foundational doctrine that we hold to. It is that divine truth that says to us who we worship, who we build our lives on, is the one who is the rock at the center of it all. That he is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that it gives us certainty in a world that's so often uncertain. And so we want to build our faith life on the rock. You've all seen pictures of the Tower of Pisa, right? And by the way, it's Tower of Pisa, not the Tower of Pizza. That's a different thing altogether. The Tower of Pisa was built straight up and down, right? And it was, at the time, one of the tallest buildings in the world. And they built it, and they were very proud of it. But as the years went on, they began to notice something was going wrong with their beautiful tower. It was beginning to lean. And I'll tell you, folks, if they hadn't done a whole lot of different things down into the foundation of that thing, by now it would be laying on its side. That's where it was headed. Because they thought they had built it on rock, but they weren't right. And it was beginning to lean, and eventually something that leans falls. It's also important that you and I build on that rock. Because if our faith is built and based on anything else, if we take our eyes off Jesus and look around us, then our faith is going to begin to lean, and eventually our faith will fall. This confession is still the rock on which our faith is built. It's built on this rock that says to us that Jesus Christ is the one we can trust. It's our confession of faith. And it sets us apart. It sets us apart as the people of God. And it says to the world around us that there is this one who holds us up, who grants us life. It's the one we put our trust in, not only for today, but for eternity. The Old Testament lesson had that line in it, "Look to the rock from which you were hewn." Well, there they were talking, look back to Abraham. Abraham got this promise. God came to him and said, I'm going to take you and I'm going to make of you a great nation. And from that nation, I will bring one for which the nations of the world will give thanks. Well, the one he was promising is this one that we worship now, this one that we celebrate, our Savior Jesus Christ. And you and I are cut from that rock. That's the one we want to be like, the one we want to look like. And then Jesus says to St. Peter, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. You and I learned about Jesus at somebody's feet, right? Might have been mom, might have been grandma, might have been a parochial teacher at a Lutheran school, maybe it was a Sunday school teacher that we had, or a succession of them. They taught us about it, but the only way that Jesus ever went from here to here was by the work of the Holy Spirit. God opened our hearts and our minds and put Jesus there. And for that, we thank him forever and ever. We are standing on the rock. I've got pictures. Oh, I forgot a whole bunch of stuff here. Let's see. There's another sinkhole. If you live in Florida, be careful. That's the one I think that swallowed seven houses now. That's the latest one, but they've had... See the boat down in the bottom corner? I don't think he's going anywhere. All right? We're built on the rock. How'd you like to go to church there? I wonder to myself how long it takes to get up there. But I'll tell you what. That church is built on the rock. I think they did that on purpose. But what's that give you a picture of? If you're up in that church and there's a thunderstorm comes along, tornado comes along, just about anything come along, that thing's going to stay there. That thing's going to sit there. It's solid because it's built on the rock. This is even a better one. This is St. Michel. This is over in the just off the coast of France in the Bay of Biscay. You see, that's surrounded by ocean. When the tide is up, there's water all around that thing. There must be times when the gales are blowing out on the English Channel. There must be times when storms come roaring in there, and lightning and thunder and everything else. But if you're up there in that church, you're sitting above it all. You can see all the turmoil around you, but you're safe and solid where you're sitting. Folks, I don't know what's going to go on in your life in the next days, weeks, or months. I don't know what's going to go on in mine. We never know when the storms of life come up. When we get a phone call that changes the way we look at life. When we go to the doctor's office and he gives us news that's hard. We don't know what's going to happen. And when we look around the world as it is, oh my gosh, it's just all turmoil. There's just always upset. There are people that are angry about this and people that are angry like this. People angry on the right, people angry on the left, people angry in the center. Everybody's angry. Everything is up in the air. We wonder what's going to be next. What's this guy in North Korea going to do next? What's Venezuela going to do? You can name it all. All these storms going around. But folks, my call to you is to stay on the rock. To keep your faith life right on Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, and know that whatever's coming, whatever you're going to have to deal with, wherever things go in this world and in our own lives, that as long as we stand on Jesus, that we have one who loves us, who's already got a plan for us, who's already told us what's ahead for us, and who guaranteed it by his blood and by an Easter morning. Jesus, our rock. Amen.
Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in this confession, the church is built. This is our solid foundation. To whom shall we go except to Jesus, who has the word of eternal life? When the ground beneath our feet shakes and rattles our hearts and minds, remind us that Jesus remains the fixed place to stand. Help us, Lord, to stand with you, never overcome but always confident in our Savior above all things. Bless us to be faithful even when we are not strong, loving even when we are not happy, and steady in our hope even when we feel broken. Bless us to confess Jesus readily and openly so that others may see and also be blessed to stand with us in faith. We pray, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift up all for whom we pray now, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you have enjoyed this morning's message. If you have a desire to know more about our ministry at Grace Lutheran Church, or if you just want to comment about our radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 812-944-1267. You may also visit us on Facebook or at our website at glcna.org. We're located at 1787 Clinner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. We hope to hear from you soon. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.